Welcome, everyone. Good morning. And I want to invite your attention now to God's Word in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read the reading that Jess read earlier again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So it's a very short passage, but it contains such great wisdom. It is summarizing God's plan for happy families, for successful, godly families. Something very needed in the world today. This wisdom of God that can be applied in our homes, in our families. And it's very appropriate today on Mother's Day. And I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all of you, that mothers that are here this morning. Roses are red, violets are blue. You're my mom, and you're the bomb. Mom, thanks for letting me know I'm your favorite child. Happy Mother's Day. Hope it's more fun than being in labor for 20 hours. Mom, I know I'm your best Mother's Day gift, so I didn't get you anything. For Mother's Day, I'd like you to take you out to brunch, which you'll end up paying for. Well, there's a lot of humorous things that children sometimes say to their mothers, but Mother's Day is something that we take very serious, and we do honor our mothers, and we do want to give them that honor and that respect in our study today. But the Apostle Paul here is teaching about the family. He's teaching about how we are to walk worthy of our calling as Christians, as being in Christ, that we have been given this life in Christ. And God is concerned about how we conduct ourselves in the family as part of the relationships that we have in this life that demonstrate how we are in subjection with God and His will for our lives. But God cares very much how we conduct our relationships here within the family. What goes on in our homes is something that God is deeply concerned about and wants us. And it's a beautiful thing to realize that in the early church, as we can discern from this passage, that families came together and worshiped together in the early church. And as the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians and it was being read to the congregation, we can see that children were there listening and learning from God's Word. God's Word was read, and the Old Testament, the prophets and the law and the Psalms, and the life of Jesus and the letters of the apostles as they were being written. Families came together and children were a part of the early church in that way. And God had His Word that the young people would listen to the Word of God, and they would sing praises to God as we've been doing this morning. And of course, that was one of the things that Paul talked about in earlier when he said in chapter 5 of Ephesians that we should be speaking to one another, filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So as he is developing here and speaking about the family and the relationships that we have, we see that he is concerned about children and parents in the relationship of the family. We know that the children were important to Jesus because Jesus talked about the children on several occasions. And he said, let the children come to me, let the little children come to me, For of such is the kingdom of God. And that if anyone receives a child, one of these little children in my name, he receives me. Jesus wanted to make it clear how important children are in the eyes of God. So Christ himself, though, gave the example of submission when he came down from heaven. He laid down his life. He talked about the fact that unless a seed is planted in the ground, it cannot bear fruit. But if it is planted in the soil, then new life comes from that. Jesus was willing to give his life and lay down his life so that we all could have life. We could all have eternal life. And as a part of that, we see that God has a will for his people, that we are to be people that are in submission to one another. And we're in submission to God, and that is shown in how we conduct ourselves in many different ways, especially in the family, is one of the important areas where we show that we are in proper submission with the will of God. So as he is going to be speaking here, he first of all addresses what he is going to say to children. And because they are more directly in the submission in this relationship. But then he's going to come back immediately and talk to the fathers. And he is going to tell the fathers how they are also to be in submission to God as they fulfill their responsibilities as being the fathers. Now, it's interesting that he mentions honor your father and your mother and obey your parents here. But when he turns it around, he just says to the fathers. So I think that's another appropriate one for Mother's Day today. Because on Mother's Day, mothers don't do anything, right? I mean, the kids do it for you on Mother's Day. So as we look at this passage, it fits perfectly because when he starts talking about what you are to do, he doesn't mention the mothers. He just mentions fathers. And we'll see about why that is, why he doesn't include mothers in this. He directs this to the fathers, being that they are the head of the home. They're the ones who have this responsibility primarily given to them. So he says, beginning in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, as we talk about the relationships, as I mentioned, submitting to one another, he begins to talk about that there in chapter 5. And that is a general attitude of submission for all Christians. We are all to be in submission to one another. But then he gives specifics of those relationships. And he talked about the husband-wife relationship. And he began there by saying, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then he said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He always gives that and bases it back upon a foundation of truth, of doctrinal truth, of theological relationship of God as being Christ being in subjection. We, wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And now he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So there's a relationship. It's not just children who are to be in submission. We're all to be in submission. But as we think about the children relationship, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Now that goes a step higher and deeper than it did with the wife, because the wife never says, wives, obey your husbands in the Lord. Now, Peter talks about the fact in 1 Peter 3 that Sarah showed respect to her husband Abraham, and she obeyed him, calling him Lord. But the point that Peter is really saying, when you look at the context in 1 Peter, is wives, be submissive to your husbands. that was the same point that Paul is saying here. But he does, when he comes here to talk about children, he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And that means that children are commanded to do what their parents tell them to do, that they are to be obedient to their parents. So that is something that obviously children sometimes do not want to do, especially teenage children. As children get a little bit older, we tend to want to not do what our parents tell us to do. We want to do what we want to do. And we want to be independent and go our own way. So Paul is saying to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the way, in other words, God created the relationship. This is the way God wants it to be. This is the way it is in all societies. This is the way it has always been. Only not necessarily today in our society, because we have turned things around and turned things upside down. But when we go back and look at history and we go back and look at things from the beginning, there has always been an order. And so he is saying it is right for children to obey your parents. And that is being done because of our being in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. Because when you as a Christian, and we can also, I think, draw this conclusion that these children that he is speaking to, some of them were already in Christ. That they had become Christians. And that is something that all young people need to be thinking about. Is that when you are of the age of accountability to understand the will of God and to understand that you are accountable to God and that we have sinned, as the Bible says, all have sinned and come short, that a young person needs to come to the decision in their life, I need to become a Christian, I need to obey the gospel, and I need to become submitting my life to Christ, that I can have the forgiveness of sins, but also that I can conduct myself as God wants me to conduct myself. And that's going to involve, I need to obey my parents. It's an attitude that I need to come to understand and appreciate that God teaches us that we are to obey our parents. And therefore, when I obey my parents, I am obeying Christ. I'm obeying God, and when I don't obey my parents, I'm disobeying Christ. Another way we might say this, children, obey your parents as you would obey the Lord, as you would serve the Lord. So being pleasing to the Lord is doing what your parents have told you to do. Now, if your parents said, you need to be in before midnight tonight, then you need to obey your parents. If they say you need to do your homework, if they say you need to clean your room, you need to do your chores, then a Christian who is a young person who wants to be pleasing to God, they need to obey their parents. And they, by showing that, we're showing that you also want to be under subjection to Christ. You're doing the will of God when we do that. So he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And he goes on to say, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So the obedience that we show to our parents, we are to honor our father and mother. We also can see that this goes a little bit beyond obeying our parents, because it involves the inner attitude that we have to them, that we are to honor them, we are to respect them as our parents. And so there is an outward obedience that we are to obey our parents. My parents tell me, no, you need to it's time for bed. You need to get ready for bed because you have school tomorrow or whatever. We need to respect and obey that. But at the same time, we need to honor our parents. And that means we respect them. They are our parents. God put them there for our good. And we are to show that we honor them and we respect. We do not argue with them. In other words, we do as they instruct you to do. And Paul gives a very practical reason here for this, because he, as I say, he always gives reasons, logical reasons and scriptural reasons for the commands that God has given to children. He says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Well, it was one of the Ten Commandments. He said it is right. I believe that that is grounded in the very nature of the creation of God, that it is right for children to obey their parents. But in the honor your father and your mother, the first commandment, that is a revealed law from God. God revealed His law at Mount Sinai to the children of Israel, the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments. It says, this is a quotation from the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. And what He is doing here, there are two places in the Old Testament where it is given, in Exodus chapter 20, but again in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16. So He is blending those two verses together out of the Old Testament. But He is modifying it because we're no longer living under the Old Testament. When we read that in the Old Testament, it says that you may live long in the land which God has promised to give to your fathers. So it's talking there about in the land of Canaan, the promised land, that God was going to give to the children of Israel, that if you will obey your father and honor your father and mother, you will be given a promise, you will live long in the land that God would give you. But see, we're no longer, when Paul was writing the Ephesian letter, we're no longer in that time period. That wasn't appropriate to the time. So he modified that, and he says that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. But if you're paraphrasing out of what the Old Testament was saying and putting it in the modern day, then that is the same meaning. So there's a practical reason that we need to honor our parents. One of the reasons is because our parents do have a lot more wisdom than children do at that point in time in life. Your life will go better when you listen to and respect your parents and obey their instructions. Because of anyone that there is here on earth, our parents are the ones that are more going to have our best interest in mind and love us and care for us than anyone else. Parents love their children. As a general rule, I think there's very few exceptions to that. And your parents have gained wisdom. So when they give you instructions, it is for your good. And he is saying your parents are trying to help you. Your parents are trying what is best for you in life. And therefore, these rules and instructions that they are giving you, they are meant for your good. That it may be well with you, that it may go well with you, and you may live long in the earth. There's a lot of wisdom then in what our parents try to instruct and teach us. And it's valuable and it's beneficial for us to obey our parents in that. It was given in the Ten Commandments with that same application, that if you start down the path in life that you won't listen to your parents and you resent your parents anytime they give you an instruction and you try to rebel against it or argue with your parents, you are heading down a path where you're going to have a lot of trouble in life. You're going to be in trouble with your teachers. You're going to be in trouble with the law and so forth. honoring your father and your mother and listening to what they say is going to benefit you in many ways to grow up to be a person who can fit in and work with other people and be successful in life. So it's our own benefit to do what God is saying for children to obey their parents here. So that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. As children, I think we can see how being submissive, because this is how this is submissive for the children, because parents do not always act in ways that are deserving of honor. When he says, honor your father and your mother, in other words, there's going to be times that maybe your father and mother do not always act in an honorable way. Your responsibility, though, is to honor your father and mother. You see, so that is like being a wife. When he says, wives, be subject to your husbands as unto the Lord, there's a voluntary willingness to do this. A husband cannot force his wife to be in subjection. He cannot force her. He cannot force his children to honor him. A parent can force his children maybe to obey him, but not to honor him. So that has to come from the child. It has to be a willingness on the part of the child. I want to honor my parents. And we understand our parents are not perfect. No parent is perfect. But we need to honor our parents, is what God is saying here. Well, we understand that Jesus talks some about the fact that the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 15, they were not willing to honor their parents, because Jesus was making the application of this, that when your parents are older in life, we need to take care of our parents if that time comes that they need our help. And the Pharisees were making the excuse, oh no, we've already given everything to God, so we can't take care of our parents. Jesus was saying that is a tradition that you have handed down that violates the Word of God. And so I believe we can see there that the command to honor our parents, that is for a lifetime. That is their entire life. To honor your parents is something that we should all do. As long as our parents are alive, we need to honor our parents. When it talks about becoming an elder in the church, this is in Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Think about the fact that he says, now, when you're selecting elders, it must be a man who his children are in subjection, and they are believing children. He has demonstrated then, as a leader, that he is a father in his own home, and his children have a respect and listen to their father. Now, he would be a good person qualified to be in a position of leadership. So it's one of the qualifications for leadership in the church that children honor their father. So let's go now to talk about the fathers in verse 4. And there's only this one verse that is about the fathers. But again, he has a lot in this one verse when we think about. He says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So when he is now turning to talk to the fathers who are in the place of authority, we see that what he does here is to tell them to restrain that authority so that they don't abuse that authority. And that's very much similar to when he was talking to husbands. In the husband-wife relationship, he started out by saying, wives, be subject to your husband. But then he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water with the word, that he might present her to himself as pure and holy. So husbands are to be under restraint, that they are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And of fathers, are, he says, do not provoke your children to anger. Again, I want to say that he doesn't mention mothers in this. He just says fathers. And we know that if he wanted to say both, he could easily have done that, because in verse 1, he said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He specifically said, both parents, obey your parents. But now he just said, fathers. So think about that. He does not say mothers when it comes to this. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now, don't think that he is saying, mothers, it's okay for you to provoke your children to wrath. Just go ahead and do that all you want to. But fathers, you cannot do it. That's not what he's saying. He is saying that the one that has the responsibility in this area of bringing up the children is the father, who has the primary responsibility in that. And the reason because that is the father himself is in subjection to God, and the fathers are the head of the family. We go back and again look at what he said about the wives to be subject to their husbands. And he said, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, that's very important that he mentions here that the husband is the head of the family. He is the head of the home. And therefore, when he is directing here to the parent-child relationship, he speaks it to the fathers. So fathers are singled out, and fathers are the head of the family. But also, I believe that he's saying that the father is the one who is ultimately responsible for the bringing up of the children. He is the one that ultimately is going to be accountable to God of fulfilling that responsibility. Fathers are not to be pushed to the sidelines, in other words. Fathers, you know, that's not your place to be directing your children. That's for the moms to do that. No, it's not. God has given men that responsibility. So we want to make that clear. Now, secondly, though, fathers are going to be challenged. Children are going to test their fathers in the authority that they exercise. They're going to be tested. They're going to be challenged. That is why he is saying, do not provoke your children to wrath. There's going to be times when children are going to test their fathers. And there's going to be a tendency of fathers to snap back at that, to react to that. So what he is ruling out really is excessive discipline, unfair consequences, unreasonable demands, being unfair, and humiliating your child, putting your child down, tearing your child down. He is really teaching here fathers to be very tender and loving with our children. And Paul is acknowledging the fact here, which psychologists today talk about a lot, is that children have a very sensitive spirit. And a father is not there to crush his child's will. Fathers need to build up their children. There is no one, I'm convinced of this, There's no one that can do more to build up a child in his feeling of, I am important, I am valuable, than his father giving him constant encouragement and approval and showing his love for his son or daughter. That is going to go so far to help that child to grow up and to respect authority and to always be able to look back and say, my dad was someone that I absolutely admired, and I respected my father, and that taught me so many things about life. So he is directing that to fathers, that they are in that position of leadership and responsibility as the head of the family. The father is not to provoke his children to wrath. Don't be always putting them down saying, now listen to me, do it because I said so. Paul does not do that in his writings. If Paul said, here's what we need to do, he always gave it a reason. Here's why we need to do that. And if a father says to his child, he says, now you need to be in before midnight. Why? Dad, why do I need to be in before midnight? All the other kids, they go out after midnight. Why do I have to be in at midnight? It's because there's a lot of bad things happen after midnight. And there's a lot of trouble and things that are going to happen. That's why I want you in before midnight. Because I love you and I don't want you to get in that kind of problems and that kind of trouble. So we explain things to our children. That's what a father needs to do, to the exercise of his authority. One thing that provokes children to wrath is when a father gives them an instruction and he doesn't give them any reasons for it. They don't understand, why am I being told to do this? But you give them the instruction, you explain to them, this is why I'm saying that. Then they can understand, and they will come to respect their father because of that. Now we understand here that he is talking in some of these things about children who are old enough to understand those principles. Because a little child that is 2 years old or just a small infant, that's not what he is here primarily referring to. He's talking about children who are now growing up a little bit, and their father is telling them what they need to do, and he is giving them the reasons for it. So the father is in the position of authority, but do not provoke your children to wrath. Fathers are going to be challenged, but he does say, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is the father's responsibility to be the leader in training the children, bringing them up, raising them. The father has the responsibility of doing this. So we're going to notice here that he goes into a little more detail on that. He says, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The thing that we see that is significant here is that there's two things, discipline and instruction. Discipline and instruction. Now, the discipline we see, that is more of the outward physical actions of the father. And the instruction is the verbal instructions of the father, where he is talking with his children and he is explaining things to them. And he is explaining them to them out of the Word of God, why this is important, why this is the will of God. He's giving them both words and action. Both words and action. In order to, not just words and not just actions. So he is not just telling his children what to do, but he is explaining it to them. He is giving them the reasons. And he is teaching them from God's Word why that is important. Why God teaches us these truths and these principles. So fathers are given a great responsibility. Now I'm not saying that mothers are totally excluded out of that. There are other passages that I believe we can draw and learn that mothers are a big part of raising their children. And certainly they have a huge part to play in this. As far as mothers, honoring our mothers, honoring your mother, let me share with you a few short quotations. A mother is the one who fills your heart in the first place. A mother is the one who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. The natural state of motherhood is unselfishness. A mother's love endures through all. The influence of a mother in the lives of her children is beyond calculation. Sooner or later, we all quote our mothers. A mother is your first friend, your best friend, your forever friend. All I am, I owe to my mother. A mother's arms are more comforting than anyone else's. Moms are like buttons. They hold everything together. A mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. And the most important thing a father can do for his children is to love their mother. Paul is showing us here in this part of the letter that fathers are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach your children to love God. My purpose is not necessarily to teach my children how to be a good artist or a good golfer or some other activity like that. My responsibility as a father that God gives me, I need to teach my children to love God, to love Jesus, to love the Word of God, to want to serve God, to want to be pleasing to God. And a father, in words and actions, is to impart that to his children. So we need to teach our children to the Word of God. We need to teach them the importance of worshiping God, of attending worship together as a family. Fathers are given a huge responsibility in that. So fathers need to get up off the couch and understand that God has given us an important responsibility as our children are in our homes to help train them up in the love of the Lord. So walking worthy of the calling of God, it means that we need to honor our parents and that we need to teach our children to honor the Lord and to love the Lord. God cares about how we live in our homes. And as children, we serve Christ when we obey our parents and honor them. And God also cares about how we take serious the responsibility that we are given as parents each day. We serve Christ when we raise our children, not the way which we think is best. And some people today give their children, they give them so much permissiveness. And we're taught this by our society today. It's all parents, it's not your place to direct your children. That's their place. That's their responsibility. Well, yes, we need to understand our children are their own person. They are their own person. And we need to respect that. But fathers have a great responsibility to help direct our children in the way of the Lord. And they will ultimately make that choice. Each child will make that choice. But as the Bible teaches there, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. That the way a parent trains his children in many aspects, that will be, if we do a good job training our children and living the life of a Christian, it's going to help our children. That's going to be an easy decision for them to know which way they should go in their life. And they will ultimately make that decision. We cannot make it for them. Thank you for your attention. We're going to stand and sing the invitation now this morning. And there may be those who are here today that have not named the name of the Lord, that have not submitted your life to Christ. And so we want to always recognize that is an opportunity for us to make that decision today, to choose to obey the Lord in the responding of repenting and being baptized into Christ, believing that Jesus Christ is the Lord who died for our sins. So we're going to stand and sing the invitation, and we invite any who are subject to that to come as we stand.
Have thine own way.